Welcome to the Deep Dive. If you're like most people trying to navigate a career today, you probably had this thought. That single degree you worked so hard for years ago, it just isn't enough to bank on for a whole 40-year career.
It really isn't. The whole idea that you can, you know, front load all your learning at the start of your life is, well, it's fundamentally broken now.
Right, because the pace of change means lifelong learning isn't a bonus anymore, it's mandatory.
It's just part of the deal. And today, we are deep diving into what might be the new currency of that lifelong learning micro-credentials, and specifically, how things like AI and blockchain are completely changing the game.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because the driver here isn't just about cool new tech, is it? It's really about economics.
It's all about economics and career volatility. In this knowledge economy, skills have a really short shelf life.
So that degree gets outdated faster and faster. And you're constantly having to reskill just to stay afloat.
Exactly. And you can trace this back to two huge shifts in society. First is obviously automation. What you learned 5 years ago, an AI might be doing today.
And the second one?
The second is the rise of the gig economy and what some call precarization.
Precarimitization.
So more short-term contracts, less job security.
That's it. It means as an individual, you have to constantly market a really specific, updated, and this is the key verifiable skill set. You need proof and you need it fast.
So if the big traditional degree is like a giant battleship, a micro-credential or an MC is more like an agile speedboat, right? Built for these choppy waters.
That's a perfect analogy. It's exactly that. A micro-credential is, at its core, a really short competency-based recognition.
So not a whole semester.
No, think smaller. It's a digital badge or certificate that proves you've mastered one specific skill. Maybe a new data visualization tool, or a very niche compliance rule.
So they're modular and targeted. And you can get them in weeks, sometimes even days, not semesters.
Okay.
They're designed to be stacked, targeted, and focused on a clear outcome.
This sounds like more than just an educational trend. It feels like a real challenge to the system.
It is. Our mission today is to really dig into how this whole structure is being supercharged by artificial intelligence and blockchain. Because these technologies are changing everything. The design, the delivery, and maybe most importantly, the verification of these credentials.
Which puts them on a collision course with the traditional monopoly of universities, of the HEIs.
It really does. But before we get into the nuts and bolts, we have to talk about the accelerator, the thing that pushed this from a niche idea into the mainstream.
The COVID-19 pandemic.
Absolutely. That was the flashpoint.
It was. It forced all these institutions to just cut through years of red tape in a matter of months.
And when classrooms closed, everything went online. It just laid bare the desperate need for learning options that were more adaptive and flexible.
People weren't looking for a 4-year commitment in the middle of all that chaos. They needed focused, immediate skills to survive a job market that was changing under their feet.
Exactly. And that whole experience proved that you could deliver high-quality, targeted learning remotely and quickly. It totally shifted the perception of modular learning, moving it from the fringe right to the center of the conversation about the future of education.
So let's get into those mechanics. For someone listening, what's the real functional difference between a micro-credential and, say, a normal university certificate? Because we've had those for ages.
It really comes down to scope and granularity. A traditional certificate might say you finished a semester on project management.
Which is pretty broad.
Very broad. A micro-credential, on the other hand, confirms you mastered Agile Scrum methodology. And you didn't just sit through it, you passed a very detailed competency test.
So you're breaking learning down into these tiny, really useful units.
And that lets you close those very specific skill gaps that pop up almost overnight in the job market. They become this crucial bridge between the slow-moving world of formal education and the instant demands of employers.
It's all about real-time relevance.
Exactly. And the source material we looked at lays this out in a model called the Functioning Framework for Micro-Credential.
A functioning framework. What does that actually look like?
Think of it less like a chart and more like a flywheel, an ecosystem. Learners get these targeted skills.
Which makes them more valuable to employers.
Right. And they can immediately have a positive impact. Then, in turn, the universities and the industries benefit because the workforce has what the model calls invariability.
Invariability, meaning it's less likely to become obsolete.
Precisely. The workforce can adapt continuously and rapidly. It creates this closed loop where education is always aligned with what the economy actually needs.
That sounds incredible on paper, like the perfect solution.
Yeah.
But our sources say the rollout, well, it hasn't been that smooth everywhere.
And that's a really critical point. The promise is huge, but adoption has been pretty uneven. They haven't really shaken up the core degree models at most big universities. Not yet, anyway.
So there's a gap between the potential of MCs and how they're actually recognized inside the university walls.
A huge gap. So if you go out and earn 10 amazing verified micro-credentials in data science, can you just roll them into a master's degree?
I'm guessing the answer is often no.
Often no, or at least not easily. University leaders have this really tricky task. They have to find a way to integrate MCs so they complement the big degrees without, you know, devaluing them. It's a massive challenge of governance and culture.
Let's break down how the different players see this. How are the universities trying to make this work?
Well, for the universities, there are basically three big motivators. First, they see MCs as a way to reach what they call non-traditional learners.
So working professionals, people changing careers.
Exactly. People who can't just drop everything for a full-time degree. It massively expands their market. Second, it lets them add industry-relevant content super quickly without the years-long curriculum approval process a new degree needs.
And the third reason is probably the most obvious one.
Money. New revenue streams. It's a chance to generate income outside of the old enrollment models, which for many are shrinking.
Okay, what about the other side? Industry. Are employers actually asking for these?
Oh, absolutely. Companies are using MCs both for their own people and for hiring. Internally, it's for training, a really efficient way to certify new skills.
And externally, for new hires.
Externally, it signals a big shift, away from just looking at a degree and toward looking for demonstrable certified skills. I mean, for a hiring manager, a verified MC in Python is a much clearer signal than a broad degree in business studies.
It gives them immediate assurance, which leads us perfectly into the tech that makes all of this possible at scale.
The trust and personalization engine.
This is where we get past the concept and into how it actually works.
Yeah.
Because if MCs are the new structure, AI and blockchain are the engine and the verification system. And here's where it gets really interesting.
Because this convergence, this combination, it solves the two biggest problems MCs have always faced.
Which are?
One, how do you provide high-quality, personalized teaching to millions of people at the same time? And two, how do you maintain total trust in a digital badge that might be from an organization you've never even heard of?
Let's start with AI. The personalization engine. This is way beyond just watching recorded lectures, right?
Oh, miles beyond. We're talking about hyper-personalized learning. The AI is constantly diagnosing your progress in real time. It sees where you're struggling, where you're excelling.
And it adapts the content for you.
Instantly. It'll give you extra practice on one topic or let you skip another one entirely if you've already mastered it. This leads to way better outcomes, and people can get competent much, much faster.
That efficiency is a huge deal for adult learners.
Yeah.
But what about the biggest problem with online learning? That feeling of being isolated. Does AI help with that?
It does, by providing something called intelligent tutoring and feedback. And it can do it at scale.
So like an AI mentor.
Pretty much. A virtual teaching assistant that can answer your questions and give you feedback 24/7. It never gets tired. It's always available. That's a huge factor in reducing online dropout rates.
It basically solves the student-teacher ratio problem.
It completely changes it. And the AI also works behind the scenes, helping the human instructors. It can flag parts of the curriculum that students are finding confusing or even prep personalized materials for certain learners.
Which frees up the human professor to do what?
To do the things humans are best at. Mentorship, leading debates, talking about ethics, the high-level critical thinking stuff that an AI can't replace.
And this ability to scale up quality is what makes it so powerful. The source material has a great name for this, the Duolingo effect.
Right. The Duolingo effect is all about that. Duolingo used its AI to analyze billions of little data points on how people learn a language, what works, what doesn't.
And that let them scale to millions of users without the quality dropping off.
To hundreds of millions of users. And universities are now looking at that model and thinking, we can do that too. AI is really the only thing that makes mass customized education possible.
Okay, so AI handles the teaching and personalization. But what about the admin side? And more importantly, the integrity?
Well, AI helps with the routine stuff like automated grading of tests. But where it's really critical is in integrity monitoring.
You mean catching cheaters?
Basically, yeah. Detecting potential plagiarism and now increasingly flagging the use of generative AI writing tools by students.
The great cat and mouse game. Using AI to catch AI.
It's a constant battle. And beyond that, AI systems just handle the sheer logistics of tracking all these credentials. Which brings us to the technology that actually locks down the verification.
Blockchain. The trust layer.
It's the ultimate trust layer. Because once a credential is put on that blockchain ledger, it's basically impossible to change or forge it.
It's immutable, unlike a PDF certificate that you could easily fake.
Exactly. The record is cryptographically sealed and distributed across a network, not stored in one place, so it's incredibly secure.
And that distribution, that's what makes it so transparent and portable, right?
That's the game changer. For the learner and the employer, if a company wants to verify your credential, they can check it on the blockchain instantly.
Without having to call up the university and wait 3 weeks for them to check their records.
No need to contact the provider at all. It speeds everything up and reduces the administrative hassle. This is what will give MCs real legitimacy in the global marketplace.
So when you combine all of that, the flexibility, the AI personalization, the blockchain trust, you get some massive real-world advantages for learners.
Absolutely. The most fundamental benefit is just radical flexibility. It finally accommodates the fact that most people have a nonlinear life path.
Life isn't a straight line from school to career.
Not at all. And MCs recognize that. They let people with jobs, with families, with limited time to hyper-target skills without having to press pause on their entire life.
And that fundamentally changes who can even get access to higher education.
It opens up pathways that were just closed before. The ability to stack micro-credentials over time towards a full degree is huge.
The sources had a really powerful example of this. The working parent.
Yeah, that really brings it home. Imagine a single parent working two jobs, maybe over 8 years. They earn 10 of these critical MCs in the evenings on weekends.
Something they could never do in a traditional full-time program.
Absolutely not. But because they can stack them, those MCs can eventually translate into a full degree or diploma. It opens up opportunities that were completely impossible before. It's an empathetic system.
And beyond the practical side, does this structure actually help keep people motivated?
Oh, for sure. It aligns perfectly with what we know about motivational psychology. Getting those little rewards frequently, earning a badge, getting a certificate, it's a constant sense of progress.
These small wins keep you going.
They really do. And when you combine that with the personalized AI feedback, you see much higher completion rates and fewer people dropping out compared to long traditional courses.
And the learner also gets more control over their own records.
A huge power shift. It's about ownership. With blockchain and digital wallets, you, the learner, control your verified skill portfolio. You decide who sees it and when.
It's like a real-life version of that idea of a lifelong learning passport.
It's exactly that. Tangible, secure, and portable across borders and jobs.
Okay, let's flip it around. What does this mean for the employer? If I'm hiring, how does this change my process?
It gives you incredible precision. Employers are desperate for what they call fine-grained skill signals. Mm-hmm. A degree tells you someone is smart and can commit to something.
But it doesn't tell you if they know how to use the specific software you need them to use on day one.
Exactly. But an AI blockchain verified MC does. It signals current demonstrated mastery. This is driving that whole trend towards skills first hiring.
So you could see job ads literally changing. Instead of bachelor's in computer science, it might say requires MC in AWS certified developer.
That's precisely where it's heading. It takes a lot of the guesswork and risk out of hiring.
I imagine the tech that verifies these credentials also helps automate the HR side of things.
100%. Massive HR automation. The AI in resume screeners can automatically find and verify these blockchain credentials.
Because it's structured data. It's easy for a machine to read and check.
Right. It can match a candidate's verified skills to the job requirements almost instantly. It just streamlines the whole pipeline from application to interview so much faster.
The benefits for learners and employers seem crystal clear. But for the universities, the traditional institutions, this must feel like a double-edged sword, as the sources put it.
It is. It's a huge opportunity on one side and an immense risk on the other.
Opportunity is the strategic reset, right? A chance to innovate, reach new markets.
Yes, and to align more closely with what industry actually needs. It increases their relevance, and let's be honest, it opens up vital new revenue streams. For many, it's a competitive necessity.
But the other edge of that sword is the internal challenge.
It's a massive one. This isn't a small tweak. It's a profound organizational change. It means investing in new technology, new platforms, and retraining faculty to think and teach in a completely different modular way.
And in academia, that kind of change, it's going to face some internal resistance.
A lot of it. Faculty worry about the workload, for one, but the bigger concern you hear is about the dilution of academic rigor.
The fear that these are somehow education light, fragmented, and not as deep as a traditional course.
Exactly. That these little badges are just a cheap substitute for deep foundational knowledge. And there's also a fear of internal competition, that these successful online MCs will pull students and funding away from traditional departments.
So what's the role of leadership in all this? How do they navigate that?
They have to be transformative leaders. They have to sell a clear vision of how MCs complement the traditional curriculum, not how they replace it.
Frame it as an extension of the mission, not a threat.
Exactly. And the best leaders get faculty to take ownership, to see it as a way to bring new learners and new industry insights into the university.
We talked about AI being this great efficiency engine, but the sources had a really serious warning about not losing the human touch.
A vital warning. The studies talk about the potential cost of loneliness. If AI completely replaces human interaction in education, engagement plummets.
Students feel isolated, and their learning suffers, no matter how good the AI tutor is.
Right. So the goal can't be total automation. It has to be a hybrid model.
So AI augments the human instructor. It doesn't replace them.
That's the key. Let the AI handle the routine grading and admin work. That frees up the human instructor's time for the high-value stuff. Mentoring, leading discussions, one-on-one coaching.
Use the tech to scale the logistics so humans can focus on the teaching.
Precisely. And it's important to remember all those stats about AI improving retention. They assume that when the AI flags a student who's struggling, a human, a real tutor or counselor, steps in to help. The machine finds the problem. The human provides the empathy.
We've laid out this incredible opportunity, but anytime you have such powerful, data-heavy technology, you also have risks. Big ones.
And this raises an important question. As we go down this road, we have to deal with these fundamental challenges around ethics, fairness, and access. If we don't, the whole thing could lose public trust before it even gets going.
Let's start with the most obvious one, data privacy. AI works by collecting a ton of data on how you learn. That has to raise some red flags.
It absolutely does. Institutions have to be incredibly careful here, especially with rules like GDPR. They need crystal clear policies on how that data is collected, stored, and used. Transparency isn't optional.
So how do you balance the need for data to personalize the learning with a student's right to privacy?
You give them control. Ideally, students should be able to opt in or opt out of certain data-driven features. And you have to be totally upfront about why you're collecting the data. Is it to suggest content? Is it to flag you for help? If you don't explain that, trust just evaporates.
What about blockchain and all this? It's great for security, but having a permanent public record of your education, that sounds like a privacy headache in a different way.
It's a definite trade-off. On one hand, you don't have to keep sharing your personal data to get verified. But on the other hand, that record is, by design, permanent.
So what happens if you want a credential removed? How do you do that on an immutable system?
That's the challenge. It requires some clever solutions, like privacy-focused blockchains or smart contracts that can effectively revoke a public credential. This is a huge area of development that has to be solved for this to work at a global scale.
Okay, let's move to the next big challenge, algorithmic bias. If the AI is trained on historical data and that data reflects old biases,
then the AI will just perpetuate them or even make them worse. This is probably the most serious ethical risk of all.
How would that actually play out in the world of micro-credentials?
The biggest danger is a kind of subtle gatekeeping. Say the historical data shows that a certain demographic group hasn't done well in advanced coding modules. The AI might learn from that and start nudging students from that group toward easier, less valuable credentials.
Even with good intentions, it would just reinforce existing inequalities.
Exactly. It creates these invisible barriers to the skills that lead to high-paying jobs.
So how do you even begin to fix that?
It has to be a conscious effort. You need to use diverse training data sets that are actively corrected for bias. You need constant auditing of the AI's decisions by humans. And you need to bring in ethicists and diverse groups of people when you're designing the system in the first place.
Then there's the very practical problem of the digital divide. If education becomes this tech-heavy, you risk leaving a lot of people behind.
It's a huge threat to the whole democratization promise. These courses assume you have good internet, a modern computer.
Which a lot of people in rural or low-income areas just don't have.
Right. Not to mention the digital literacy skills needed to manage all this. It could actually widen the gap instead of closing it.
So what are the real-world solutions here?
Well, Institutions need to see access as part of the core mission, not just a nice add-on. That could mean loaning out devices, working with telecoms to provide cheap or free data for educational use, or even building offline modes for their courses. You have to solve the access problem systemically.
And finally, let's talk about the value of these things. If they become too common, you run into what the sources call badge fatigue.
This is the big economic threat. If everyone starts issuing trivial badges for everything, the market gets flooded, employers and learners get skeptical, and the whole currency gets devalued.
So quality controls everything.
Everything. There has to be a clear way to tell the difference between a rigorous university-backed MC and a flimsy certificate from some random online company. That means tiering and branding.
And maybe even a formal accreditation system for MC providers, just like we have for universities.
That's very likely where we're headed. Some kind of third-party quality assurance will be necessary to maintain trust and value in the whole system.
This deep dive has really shown a learning landscape that is in the middle of a massive radical transformation.
It really has. If you boil it all down, AI makes education more personal and responsive, and blockchain makes the credentials trustworthy and portable.
And together, they create this flexible, modular system that's just perfectly suited for the gig economy and the constant need for new skills.
The big picture here is a real paradigm shift, a move toward a system that's truly learner-centric and recognizes that learning doesn't stop. It's a continuous process throughout your entire career.
But there's always that big question that comes up. Does this mean the traditional university degree is going to become obsolete?
No, I don't think so. The consensus is pretty clear that traditional degrees aren't going to disappear.
They'll coexist.
Each will serve a different complementary purpose. The big degree will still provide that broad foundational knowledge, the critical thinking, the deep theory, the things that teach you how to think.
And the micro-credentials will provide this specificity, the just-in-time skills you need for a particular job right now.
Exactly. So your educational profile in the future won't be one single document. It'll be more like a portfolio, a puzzle.
A puzzle of degrees and micro-credentials, all recognized and verifiable.
That's the vision. A portfolio that shows both your broad intellectual foundation and your specific current technical skills.
But this shift toward verifying those specific technical skills, it brings up one last philosophical tension, which is a great place to leave our listeners.
It is. Because while we're getting really good at assessing and certifying technical skills, they're easy for an AI to grade, easy for a blockchain to verify, it raises a huge question. Are we accidentally undervaluing the broader things traditional education fosters?
You mean the soft skills?
Correct.
Critical thinking, communication, teamwork.
The stuff that makes you an effective leader, not just an effective technician. We're seeing an explosion in technical MCs, but MCs for soft skills, they're far less common, and they're notoriously hard to assess objectively.
So the challenge is making sure that in our rush to verify the things that are easy to measure, we don't forget the essential human skills that are actually required for success.
Precisely. And that leaves us with the open question for you, the listener. AI might get better at this, maybe through complex simulations. That's an active area of research. But how will we ensure these systems can capture and value the nuance of human skills and not just become a system that only rewards the easily quantifiable?
That tension between the verifiable skill and the essential human breadth is really going to define the future of learning.
It will define the strategic choices for all of us for the next couple of decades.
A fascinating place to leave it.
Yeah.
Thank you for diving deep with us on AI-verified micro-credentials. We'll see you next time.